Because we have a special guest with us this morning, we've rearranged our normal order of worship just a bit, and so we're going to actually move right into scripture reading and then the special message from Aretha, because that's going to inspire us all, I can tell already. But this morning I selected two scripture passages that I felt somewhat exemplify what it means to be called to serve God and to acknowledge the incredible, awesome God it is that we are called to serve. And as we move into this time of hearing a special message this morning, let us be mindful of the wonderful Lord that we serve and how each of us are called to serve in our own special way, regardless of what our gifts may be. God calls all of us to serve. So hear now Psalm 24. The earth is the Lord's and everything in it, the world and all who live in it. For he founded it upon the seas and established it upon the waters. Who may ascend the hill of the Lord? Who may stand in his holy place? He who has clean hands and a pure heart, who does not lift up his soul to an idol or swear by what is false. He will receive blessing from the Lord and vindication from God his Savior. Such is the generation of those who seek him, who seek your face, O God of Jacob. Lift up your heads, O you gates, be lifted up, you ancient doors, that the King of glory may come in. Who is this King of glory? The Lord strong and mighty, the Lord mighty in battle. Lift up your heads, O you gates, lift them up, you ancient doors, that the King of glory may come in. Who is he, this King of glory? The Lord Almighty, he is the King of glory. This is the word of the Lord. And out of Ephesians chapter 4, verses 1 through 16, the Apostle Paul is writing from prison as he speaks of the unity in the body of Christ, and as he admonishes all of those in Ephesus and throughout his ministry to serve the Lord with the gifts they are given. As a prisoner for the Lord, then, I urge you to give a life worthy of the calling you have received. Be completely humble and gentle. Be patient, bearing with one another in love. Make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace. There is one body and one Spirit, just as you were called to one hope when you were called, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is over all and through all and in all. But to each one of us, grace has been given as Christ apportioned it. This is why it says, when he ascended on high, he led captives in his train and gave gifts to men. What does he ascended mean, except that he also descended to the lower earthly regions? He who descended is the very one who ascended higher than all the heavens in order to fill the whole universe. It was he who gave some to be apostles, some to be prophets, some to be evangelists, and some to be pastors and teachers, to prepare God's people for works of service, so that the body of Christ may be built up until we all reach unity in the faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God, and become mature, attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. Then we will no longer be infants, tossed back and forth by the waves, and blown here and there by every wind of teaching, and by the cunning and craftiness of men in their deceitful scheming. Instead, speaking the truth in love, we will in all things grow up into him who is the head, that is, Christ. From him, the whole body, joined and held together by every supporting ligament, grows and builds itself up in love as each part does its work. This is the word of the Lord. But without further ado, and I will not attempt to explain to you all that Aretha Zitta does in Germany, I just know it's a big deal. She works with military youth and probably many, many more things that she's going to tell us about. But of course, you all know she is the daughter of Vic and Jane Zitta, and we are so delighted that she is here from Germany as a part of the family vacation, but she has agreed to take this moment out of the vacation to come and share with us this morning. So will you please welcome Aretha Zitta.
So just to let you know, I'm not super great with these things, but I figured the microphone might be useful this morning. So here we are. Thank you. Thank you for the welcome. Thank you for letting me come and speak. Thank you for the mug, because I've been coveting my mom's. So, and now I don't have to steal it. Just a little tiny bit of introduction. I do work with Young Life Military. I'm on staff with them. We are a very special little niche organization that I'm always excited to tell folks about, because we exclusively serve teenage military dependents. There's about 300,000 of those around the world stationed with their parents. That's active duty dependents. That doesn't include Guard and Reserve. We'll talk about those at the end just a little bit. But about 300,000 of those. In the military world, we're known as Club Beyond. And so as I speak, I will use the term Club Beyond. It's what my kids know. It's what I've lived for the last 15 years. And I have been with Club for 15 years. Just a little brief history of how we got started. In 1980, there were youth workers in Europe. They were actually in Germany in the Frankfurt area with Young Life and with Youth for Christ. And as they were working with folks in international schools and with German teenagers, they came into contact with these military dependents and realized it's a very special population. They have their own culture, they have their own language, and they said, basically, we can do some ministry with them, but we really think somebody needs to focus on these kids. And so those two organizations got together and formed a third organization known as Military Community Youth Ministries, Club Beyond. So we've been in existence for over 35 years. I've been around for 15. For 10 of those years, I was in a community and I was working directly with teenagers. I started out in Heidelberg and then moved across Germany to Grafenwehr, little tiny stint in Rota, Spain, right in the middle there. And then for the last 5 years, I have been a regional director and I live in Kaiserslautern, Germany. For those of you who don't know where that is, you may have heard of Ramstein Air Base or Landstuhl Army Hospital. Both of those are actually in Kaiserslautern. So that is where I live. And as a regional director, I supervise staff, I train, I coordinate with chaplains, I run logistics for our Europe-wide events. I read a lot of military regulations and interpret them to my staff. That's not the most fun part of my job. And today what I would love to do is just give you some little snapshots of ministry, just little vignettes. That hopefully will give you a picture of what we do. So several years ago, when I was in Graf, I asked one of my chaplains to come and do a training for my volunteer leaders. He's a family life chaplain, trained counselor, and I asked him would he come and talk to us about teens in crisis and how we could better serve them. So he started by telling us about a study that I will quote very badly. I don't know where it was from, and I don't remember any of the numbers, but it was a study of people with severe depression. What is it that snaps folks out of it? And one of them was professional counseling. It was about 5% of the survey. A good friend, a family member, somebody who's supportive, who listens to you, will snap people out of depression. Getting to be a hero, meaning if you make the play in the baseball game that wins it for everybody, or you're the only one in the class who can answer the question, sometimes that will snap people out of depression, getting to be a hero. But the number one thing, number one thing is hope. Just hope. And he looked at my leaders and he said to us, that is what you do. You give kids hope. And then he went on to explain that just a little bit, because you see, we throw around the word hope. Like, I hope we have chocolate cake for dessert. We said that last night. I want chocolate. I hope it doesn't rain while we're hiking today. Sometimes it's a little bit of a deeper hope. Like, I hope that someone I love gets better. But biblical hope is way more than that. It is deeper and it is richer. Biblical hope says that what I see is not all there is. That there is a future out there. That things can be different. That I can be different. Biblical hope trust in something bigger than what I can see and bigger than what I am. Biblical hope says that I am held in the hands of a God who loves me, who came to save me, and who will change me and will transform me into something more than I currently am. And that kind of hope, Scripture talks about. Hebrews 6:19, we have this hope as an anchor for the soul, firm and secure. I love that picture. Because it's based on the character of God, that anchor for the soul. The rest of the chapter talks about how God can't lie. He's trustworthy. He keeps his promises. That is the anchor for the soul. It's firm in the middle of change. And for military kids, life is all about change. They move every 2 to 3 years. Some of our kids, as their parents get up in rank, they're moving every year. If they're not moving, their friends are moving. Someone is always moving. Someone is always deploying. We've been in a state of constant deployment for the last 11 years. In the midst of all of that change, Club Beyond becomes a safe place for our kids. Sometimes it becomes a safe place for our families. In our weekly clubs and in our small groups, it's a place where they can ask questions and they can discover who they are and they can learn about God. And God becomes that anchor for the soul, for them. And often for their parents. And it's not because our staff are that brilliant or we have all the answers. It's because we're telling them about a God who is an anchor. And we're telling them about the character of that God. Romans 5:5. Hope does not put us to shame because God's love has been poured out into our hearts through the Holy Spirit. Hope gives definition to what we can see with our eyes. Hope lets us look beyond what we can see with our eyes because God's love has been poured out into our hearts through the Holy Spirit. See, our current circumstances aren't the end of the story because God's at work. Just last week, I was with teenagers. We took them to camp in Scotland. And there was a group there from one of my communities. And they brought 43 people. And among their students is an autistic kid named Josh. Well, Josh is, he's a little socially awkward. He likes to wander. He likes to disappear. And he was in a small group with the toughest kids at camp. The smokers, the vapors, the kid who came to us from the States as part of a gang and wore his gang symbols all week. He was in a cabin with those kids. And they adopted him. They took him under their wing. He'd wander off, and I watched the smoker kid go after him on the ferry crossing, coming back across the English Channel, and go, Josh, man, don't leave us. You worry us when you run off like that. You got to hang out with us, okay? They just took him in, and they enveloped him. You see, that's hope for what God is doing in these kids' lives. It's beyond what I can see. It's beyond what their leaders can see. It's probably beyond what they can see. But that's the hope of a living Holy Spirit and God's love poured out in their hearts. 1 Peter 1:3. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. In his great mercy, he has given us new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. Hope offers promise for our future. So years ago when I was in Graf, we had a seventh grader who came to middle school club. He was the most thoughtful, articulate atheist I've ever met in my life. And he would come for the games, and he would come for the snack, and the space in the middle where we would talk about God and discuss it for a little bit, he'd disappear. Then he'd come back and join us. Well, after several weeks of that, I asked him about it, just a little bit of a come to Jesus chat, and I was like, you know, you like us enough to hang out with us for the games and the prizes, and you like us enough to hang out with us for the snack, but in the middle you disappear. He says, yeah, it's because I don't believe any of the stuff you're saying. I'm like, I get that, and I'm not going to make you believe it. I mean, it's not my job. It just feels a little rude, that's all. And he goes, that's fair. Okay, I'll hang out. Like, you can daydream, you can do whatever you want to. Just, he goes, no, it's okay, I'll hang out. So for the rest of the semester, he hung out with us in club, and he listened as we told stories of Jesus encountering people in the Gospels. That's all, just stories of Jesus. We just walked through the stories. And at the end of the semester, he goes to my coworker and he says, you know, I've decided God's real. Okay, where did that come from? And he says, well, if these stories that you guys have been telling all semester are true, then I've decided that God's real. That's my job. Just to share this living hope that could impact a kid who doesn't believe a thing. He didn't walk out of there a Christian. He didn't say, I want to follow Jesus. He just took one step closer to the God of hope. It's the living hope that is alive in the stories of Scripture. And that's what we do. 2 Corinthians 3:12. I keep tearing up. It's a little hard to read my notes. Therefore, since we have such a hope, we are very bold. This one might be my favorite recent story. I have a former club kid who is now one of my staff. She was my club kid in Heidelberg, and the story she tells on me is that I wouldn't allow her to be a middle school volunteer because of the guy she was dating. It's not entirely the truth, but it's how she remembers it. And she has been one of the staff I've supervised for the last 3 years. She, when she came to us, had a very rough first 2 years on Club Beyond staff. Very, very difficult. She's an introvert. She's somewhat disorganized. She's a military brat. They can be disorganized too. And she has a really hard time stepping out of her shell. And her first 2 years were tough, so tough that she ended up making a lot of decisions just out of fear. She wouldn't try new things. She wouldn't take steps forward. She didn't want to grow in professionalism or in skills, none of that. She was afraid. 3 years later, I've watched this girl become a leader in her community. She's still an introvert. She's still disorganized, but she leads her community. She leads her team of volunteers. She's using her strengths, and she's finding people who surround her who will pick up the slack for her weaknesses. And she's doing amazing ministry in this little community of Ansbach, Germany. Why? Because she loves her kids. And she wants them to know Jesus. And so my Bethany is stepping out and doing hard things because it's for her kids. We have such a hope, and it makes us very bold. I love our ministry. I think it's amazing. I love that I get to work with military teens. I love that I get to tell people about them because they're such a unique population. How can you be part of ministering to teens? Well, first of all, I would love it if you would pray for us. It is sometimes a difficult culture to be a Christian in, and it's a difficult culture just because of the amount of change that our families are experiencing. So I would love it if you would pray for Club Beyond and pray for our kids. And then, remember I said there's 300,000 active duty? Guard and reserve families deploy as much as active duty, but they often get lost because those military teens are in a normal community and people don't know what's happening. They're not part of the community that's marching in and out with uniforms. So read, be aware, look for the folks who are near you who might need a little extra support because mom or dad is out training or is out deployed. Look for those families. Then, if you'd like to stay in touch, out in the foyer, I've got some prayer cards which would help you with number one. And I've also got a sign up if you'd like to receive my newsletter. I'd love to keep in touch and I'd love to tell you about what's going on with us. So please feel free to ask me questions and pick that stuff up out there. And then, have to say it, we are a nonprofit organization. We are supported entirely by donations. The military does not pay us for what we do. It is a gift to the military. And so we're supported by folks who care about military teens and military families. And then lastly, just as encouragement to all of us, hope is not exclusive to me or to Club Beyond or to my staff or our families. Hope is God's gift to all believers. So let's share it.
Thank you, Aretta. You know, it touched my heart, and I think you all would agree that when we hear messages like that, it gives all of us hope. Hope that indeed the Lord is still at work in this world. We are inundated with all of the bad news and of the conflict and of the things that are going on in our world, and sometimes we have to stop and pause and be reminded that indeed there is hope in the Lord. And Aretta, I know that the work that you do is invaluable in that part of the world, and especially to those young people that you interact with. So we are so grateful. Let us pray. Almighty God, the one who calls us to serve through the love and example of Jesus Christ, we bow humbly before you. We rejoice in the beauty of your creation, and we thank you for this place where we can come in freedom to worship you. This morning, we are grateful for the guests in our midst. We thank you for the beautiful message from Aretta. And we pray that you will continue to bless her in her ministry. We are grateful for the many reasons we have to celebrate in our lives, Lord. We are grateful for family, for friends. We're grateful for anniversaries of all kinds. We are grateful for weddings, as one that occurred just last night. We pray, Lord, for Beth and her husband and the entire family. We pray that her future will be one of joy. Lord, we are grateful for summer months of travel and adventure. We are grateful for the homes that we have to live in and the food that we have, not only for our tables, but the food that we have to share. We pray that you will keep Wade Allen safe while he is deployed in Afghanistan. And we pray, Lord, that he may know that we are grateful for his service to God and country. We are mindful, Lord, of those who are in need of the feeling of your presence, of your love and your compassion. This morning, we specifically lift up to you Janet Chin, Betty Getgood, Jane Zitta, Vestal Whitlock. And Lord, we take a special moment to pause and pray for Kim Richards Huerta. As she undergoes surgery tomorrow morning, we do pray, Lord, that she will feel your presence there in that operating room with her, that she will have hope, hope in your healing powers. We pray, Lord, that the surgery will be successful. We pray, Lord, that you will guide the surgeons and all of those who are tending to her. We pray for their skill. And we pray, Lord, for your wisdom. And we pray that you will comfort her family, and especially our dear friends, Jim and Flo. We pray that they will feel your peace and comfort while their daughter is going through this procedure. And Lord, this morning we also lift to you Mark Femwright. as perhaps he is nearing the end of life on this earth, we pray that he will feel your presence and your comfort and your peace. And we pray for Sherry. And we pray that in all of this, the hope and love that comes to us through Jesus Christ will be manifest in all of the love and outpouring that they feel from this church and from this congregation. We just lift Mark to you, Lord. And so, Lord, we bring our prayers to you as a worshiping body of Christ, knowing that you are the one from whom all our blessings flow, and the one to whom we turn in times of trial and fear and need. Indeed, it is with humble gratitude that we pray in the name of Jesus Christ our Lord, the one who taught us to pray by saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. And now let us respond to God's word and with great hope by returning to him our gifts.